Will your career path allow you to retire someday? If you have doubts, you'll want to stay tuned for some good news. Hi, I'm Rob West. When it comes to being able to retire someday, what's more important, how much you make or how much you save? Ron Blue joins us today with a story that should inspire you if you worry that you don't make enough to retire. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, my guest today is Ron Blue, financial teacher and author and co-founder of Kingdom Advisors. Ron, great to have you back with us.
As always, Rob, I look forward to it. I appreciate being asked.
We're always delighted to have you. And Ron, you know this quote from Albert Einstein. He said, compounding is the eighth wonder of the world. And he said, and I quote, he who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it. And I know you have a story for us about a couple who apparently understood this very well. And I'm not surprised. Tell us about it.
Well, several years ago now, my 30-something-year-old son, he was a teacher at a private school. He'd been married for a bit, and his wife was a teacher also, and they had yet had children. But his question was, he said, Dad, he said, you know, Ann and I are just teachers, and we're just never going to have enough probably to ever retire.
Yeah.
And in the school where he was working at that time didn't have a pension program either. So That was his question, and it was a relevant, important question.
Yeah, and that certainly could be true, but it doesn't have to be. As we said, what you earn is important, but not the most important part of the equation, is it?
No, for sure. And I began to ask him a few questions, and I said, tell me a little bit about your financial situation. And what he told me was exactly what I would want to hear. One was he never, ever used credit cards for debt. He used credit cards to buy things, but they paid it all off. They didn't have any car loans. They had a home mortgage, and they had a savings account. And frankly, they had about $30,000 in their savings account. I can't remember when I had $30,000 in a savings account. but the fact that they had a savings account was, I think, really significant because it meant that they were living within their income. And they weren't spending it, so they were saving as opposed to spending. And what Albert Einstein had to say was very relevant to them because they were saving and they were benefiting from the compounding interest.
Yeah.
So we could have stopped right there. I was pretty pleased with what I was hearing, the fact that they were at that stage of life with no debt and a savings account. Pretty unusual, quite frankly.
I can imagine, and I'm not surprised, Ron. The acorn didn't fall far from the tree, I guess. But give us some of the nuts and bolts as you unpack this. How did they do it?
Well, they just set aside, I think it was about $2,000 a month, which was Ann's salary, I believe. Part of Ann's salary wasn't 100%. But they were saving about $2,000 a month, not spending. In other words, they had chosen to live in a smaller home than what perhaps they could have afforded or the banker said they could afford. But I did know that if they were saving that kind of money, that at 30-something, give them 35 years till you're 65, and I knew without even calculating it that they would probably have $1 million or more in their retirement account.
Yes.
So they had the magic of compounding working for them rather than against them.
Yeah. Oh, that's powerful, and we know that works when you can be consistent in that. Well, Ron, we're about out of time. Tie a bow on this for us. What is the big takeaway here for our audience today?
Well, the big takeaway is basically to live within your income, avoid the use of debt, and set aside money on a regular basis and give yourself time, and time will be working for you as opposed to against you. And the earlier you start, the better. So that's pretty simple advice. Live within your income and don't use debt and save.
And do it for a long period of time. Well, that is great advice, Ron. It's something you've been saying for years, and I appreciate you sharing it in light of this great story. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Thank you for asking. Appreciate it.
Live within your income, avoid the use of debt, and save. Do it for a long time. That's Ron Blue's advice today, and it's good advice. We'll be back with your questions just after this. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If you have small children, you know they want to be held. A lot. At the table, on the couch, and especially if you're shopping and don't have a free hand. What they want most is to be with you. And that's a good thing. Closeness comes with intimate relationship. And we ought to, just like little children, want to be as near to God as possible. And in His kindness, God picks us up and seats us with Him. Listen to Ephesians 2:6. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Truly, in Christ, you are loved by the Father. And you'll see Jesus more clearly every time you spend time in His Word. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown, thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way. 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage, LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Pat Montague back with us today, managing our phone. She'd be delighted to take your call, and we'll try to get you on the air quickly. Again, that number to call with any financial question today, 800-525-7000. Here at FaithFi, we want God to be your ultimate treasure. We recognize that you have a high calling as a steward of God's resources, managing money with a goal of being found faithful so we can hear, well done, good and faithful servant, when we stand to give an account for how we've managed what God has entrusted to us. It all belongs to Him. So in order to be wise and faithful, we go back to God's Word and look for those big ideas. First of all, starting with our heart, recognizing that greed and covetousness and pride can creep in and cause us to satisfy our longing for abundance and life, if you will, in the things of this world, which is what the culture would have us to do. Well, we want to redirect you back to God as your ultimate treasure so that money takes on its proper place. That is not an end, a means to an end, a tool to accomplish God's purposes as we live within our means and avoid debt and set long-term goals, have some margin or some cushion in our financial lives and give generously. Well, what are you thinking about today? Let us help you navigate those practical decisions in light of biblical wisdom. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Mississippi. Ann, you'll be our first caller. Go right ahead.
Yes. I hope I know enough to even ask, but I have a friend. She's Asian. It's kind of hard to understand what she's saying, but she said she quit letting her financial advisor handle her account, and she invests in U.S. Treasury. I don't understand it, but like every 17 weeks, it pays a good percent. It seems like she said about 5%. I don't remember, but I thought maybe you might know a little bit more about it than I do, or a lot, probably.
Yeah, very good. Well, first of all, I would say, the idea of having an advisor is certainly one that I support. The idea you'd have somebody walking alongside you with a lot more skill and experience that can ask the hard questions and help you navigate your financial life, putting together a well-thought-out plan so you can think about how long, the money needs to last. We're living longer these days. Ultimately, God determines how long we have. But we know longevity is increasing as we see advances in healthcare. And so the idea that given that longevity and the effects of inflation, which erodes our purchasing power on our dollars over time, we want to have a well-thought-out plan. And I think that begs, even the idea that we would have a portion, even in our retirement years, 60s, 70s, 80s, that we would have a portion of our investments, albeit maybe a decreasing portion, but a portion in stocks, because that's going to give us a growth component. But as long as we have that long time horizon, we can weather the ebbs and flows of the market. And then the rest of the portfolio, we would likely use maybe an allocation of gold, and then also to fixed income type investments, which will include, I think, could include CDs, could include really high quality corporate bonds, could also include government treasuries. So treasury bonds are what are called T-bonds and are government debt securities issued by the U.S. federal government. And with regard to T-bonds, they have maturities of either 20 or 30 years, and then they pay or they earn a periodic interest until maturity, at which point the owner is paid a par amount equal to the principal. So continues to grow and you earn interest along the way. I think they can be very attractive, especially now with rates up. And, we have four different types of debt that are issued by the U.S. Treasury. You've got bills, you've got notes, and then you've got bonds. And then you've got a final category called TIPS, which are inflation protected securities. And, they're virtually risk-free. I mean, everything has some level of risk, but they're backed by the U.S. government. And, of course, the government, has ways of making good, despite our challenges, and we've got many. They can raise taxes and increase revenue to ensure payments. We could talk about some of the bigger issues facing the U.S. economy, but nevertheless, just kind of relative to everything else, they are, I would say, relatively safe. And then they do make those interest payments, typically semi-annually, and then you pay taxes at the federal level on the income that you receive. So I like bonds a lot. You can buy them directly from the U.S. Treasury, or you can buy them on what's called the secondary market. And they have a yield, and that yield is fairly attractive right now. So I think the bottom line is these are low-risk assets that you can use for safe but relatively low returns. There's multiple ways to buy them. But I think they have a place in your portfolio. I wouldn't necessarily advocate for putting 100% of your portfolio there, not because you're increasing the risk, but I think you're perhaps risking a lower return over a long period of time,
And given the effects of inflation, I'd rather you see you have a properly diversified portfolio with a portion of your portfolio in a bit higher risk assets that also have the potential for more growth so that, you know, you can preserve what you have over time so you can give and provide for yourself and enjoy what God has given you. But that's a lot of information, Ann, so give me your thoughts.
Well, I've been taking notes, but I'm 71, so what would you say, what percent in stocks, what about these bonds, these U.S. Treasury bonds, what percent in that, what percent in CD or whatever you think, what would you, and I'm going to jot that percentage down, and then I'll let you go on to your next call.
Sure, sure. I would say, you know, for a typical 70-year-old, and this is a general rule of thumb, so let me just put that out there. I mean, this doesn't replace you doing some meaningful planning with that advisor to look at what are your, you know, what are your lifestyle expenses? What income do you have? How much do you need to be pulling from these investments? What do you have on the horizon, you know, that you need to be planning for? I mean, looking at all of these factors can help you dial in to an appropriate percentage, I think, for you. But just kind of as a starting point for a 70-year-old, because we're living longer, you know, I would say having probably 40% in stock, somewhere between 30 and 40%, and then somewhere between 60 and 70% in fixed income, a portion of that fixed income would be these treasuries. And so you might have as much as half in U.S. treasuries and the other half in corporate bonds and money market and CDs, that type of thing. But I think that 70-30 or that 60-40 portfolio probably makes sense to allow you to have some growth component, but still not see the volatility of, you know, let's say an all stock portfolio, if that makes sense.
Okay, so I wrote that down, 30 to 40% in stock, 60 to 70% in fixed income, maybe half of that in U.S. Treasury corporate bonds, and the other half in money market CDs and something else you said.
Yeah, I mean, so you'd have corporate bonds, treasuries. I mean, these are all fit into the fixed income category. You could use CDs. You could use, typically you'd use a money market in there as well. And there's some attractive rates. I mean, the yield right now on the 30-year treasury is, you know, 4.5%. You can get, you know, 4.7 on a 2-year. So, you know, these offer a really stable and, at least today, attractive interest rate with, again, very low risk. I'd love for you to have a bit more growth potential with a portion of your portfolio, but I think staying with that advisor makes a lot of sense. Hey, thanks for being on the program today. Back with more after this.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, if you're having trouble staying within your income, your expenses, that is, on a monthly basis, you're dealing with the effects of inflation like we all are, and you're just trying to stay on plan, recognizing that your ability to live below your means is critical because that margin is how you can increase your giving, accomplish your goals, save for the future, pay down debt. It's vital, and if you're not able to do it, well, you're going to start to tread water, and eventually it's going to lead to debt. We'd love to help with that. The FaithFi app is the way to do it. It's what Julie and I use to track our family finances. We can always see at any point during the month in real time what's left in each of our envelopes, digitally speaking, so we can make changes and course corrections along the way. You can download it today on our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click app at the top of the page or search for FaithFi in your app store. All right, we're going to head back to the phones. We've got two lines open. We'd love to hear from you today, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's see. We'll head next to Pennsylvania. Hi, Wayne. Go ahead.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah. Hi there.
I had some questions. Good, good. I'm 68 years old, and I'll be retiring this year, October and November. But I hear these gold companies are saying that there's IRA attachment to them, and my thinking is that there's going to be a percentage of interest to be made as opposed to simply buying gold and have it sit there and waiting for the future. I have about between 45,000 and 55,000 in 401k amounts when I retire. So I guess I would be towards the low tier retirement, and I'll be pulling Social Security also.
Okay.
So just want to get your thoughts on the goal area.
Yeah, very good. So you said you had 40,000 to 50,000 in your retirement plan. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Yeah. And Wayne, have you built your budget such that you can live off of Social Security alone, or are you going to need to supplement that income?
It's very close, but I will have to supplement between $200 and $400 against that also.
Okay.
So I plan to work maybe part-time.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I mean, you certainly could start to draw something out of that $50,000. You know, we use as a starting point 4% would be a reasonable amount where you could hope to or expect over time to replenish what you're taking out and continue to grow it. If you did 4% or less, that'd be $160 a month, basically on $50,000 if you pulled that out. But I wouldn't certainly put all of that in gold if it were me. You're just too highly concentrated. Gold does not pay any kind of income, so you're just counting on the appreciation of the underlying metal. Now, the gold IRAs are basically a specialized individual retirement account that's for the purpose of holding physical gold as well as precious metal-related securities within the portfolio. And so they're equipped to do that and to take the gold and store it and basically hold it within the IRA structure. And that, you know, helps with the tax deferral. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think the key is is just what is the right allocation to gold of your overall investable assets. And if that's the total of your investable assets, I really don't like putting all of that in gold. Why is that? Well, I like gold for maybe 10% of your portfolio. In this case, that'd be $5,000. And in an IRA, what you could do is just buy a gold tracker ETF. So there's a number of exchange-traded funds that track the price of gold that you can hold in an IRA. You can buy alongside your other investments, mutual funds or whatever you own, and it just follows the price of gold. And they have, you know, gold backing those ETFs, but you don't have to put it into a, quote, gold IRA where they're going to hold the physical gold. It's more of a tracker. But, you know, you have to recognize that gold is that fear trade. You almost don't want gold to do well because that usually means something is not right. And when we look at the performance of gold, although it's gotten a lot of attention as of late, and for good reason, it's up quite a bit, I think you have to realize that, I mean, until just the end of last year, we were not above where we were back in 2020. You know, we hit a high in August of 2020 of $2,028 an ounce on gold. We didn't get above that from 2020 all the way until 2023, until December. So we were basically treading water. Now we've moved up beyond that. I think we're around $2,300 an ounce today, but that's not a significant appreciation. It doesn't pay income like fixed income and dividend paying stocks do. And, you know, I think there's just been more volatility with gold. But again, I like it as a part of your portfolio. I just wouldn't get highly concentrated there and put all of it in gold. I'd rather you have a mix of gold and fixed income type investments and stocks that have the potential for a greater appreciation so that you can offset inflation and have something, you know, available to you that's a little bigger than you have today when you need it. Let's say you needed it to supplement your income down the road for long-term care or something like that. Does that make sense though, Wayne?
Right. That makes sense. That does make sense. Yes. And, okay. And that definitely opens up the, as you say, you know, needing certain monies down the road. If you'd like to spend time with the grandkids.
Yeah. So I think I love that. And so I think the key for you right now is just continue to work as long as you can, you know, so you can supplement your income, let your assets continue to grow. And, you know, I think that'll make sense. There's a bunch of these gold trackers out there. I mean, GLD and IAU. And I mean, if you just search for gold ETFs, you'll see a whole host of them from, you know, iShares and Spider and, you know, Invesco and a number of the investment houses that have put these tracking ETFs together. So hopefully that helps you, sir. Thanks for being on the program today. All the best to you. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Marilyn. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I have a question. I have a money market at a bank and a money market at the credit union. Both of them have around $15,000 each. I have $10,000 in a savings account, and I have about $9,000 in my checkings. And then the retirement thing that's in the stock market, and I actually really don't know what everything's in. Most of it's in safe things. I have a little over $100,000.
Okay, got it. That's helpful background. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get the rest of your financial picture, and I'd be happy to weigh in on your questions. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stick around. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
A petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry,
Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open today, taking your calls and questions on anything financial. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Hey, before the break, we were talking to Marilyn in Virginia. Marilyn called to ask about just her retirement plan. She's still working at 64 years old. She'd like to retire here in the next few years, wondering if she's on track to do that. She's got basically $100,000 in a retirement account with about $50,000 liquid between savings, checking, and money market. She knows she's got some expenses coming up, car-related and medical-related, that insurance isn't going to cover. And she owes about $25,000 on her townhouse that's worth probably $175,000 or so. And, you know, I think the starting point, Marilyn, is really just to dial into that budget, that spending plan. Have you ever taken the time to kind of write out your spending plan for a month, for a month's worth of expenses?
Not recently. I did that. I had done the envelope thing before and was on the budget, but that's been quite a while back, and I just haven't started it up again.
Yeah. Well, I think that would be good, because really that's going to be the key, is to look at what is it going to take to fund your lifestyle on a monthly basis, and we got to get everything in there. I mean, most folks live on somewhere between 70 and 80% of their pre-retirement income in retirement, because maybe they're not buying work clothes as much. They're not saving for retirement anymore. Maybe they're not eating out as much. I mean, there's a number of things that change, maybe less fuel, that kind of thing. But some expenses go up. We might want to travel more. We may have more medical expenses in that season of life. And, you know, hopefully with Medicare and a good either Medigap or Medicare Advantage, you can cover most of that. But, we certainly want to make sure you've got a good sense of what is it going to take to fund our lifestyle. And then you're going to want to compare that to what you can expect from Social Security. At SSA.gov, they'll give you an estimate based on your work record of what you might expect to receive when you get to that point at full retirement age, which is probably for you 67. Now, the key is any year prior to full retirement age that you take that, you're going to shave about 8% off of that check every year. So we really want to wait as long as possible. In fact, and you may not want to hear this, but depending on how that analysis goes, you know, there's a case to be made that you might wait all the way until age 70, because that way you'd get a check about 25% higher than what you would get at full retirement age for the rest of your life. And that might close that gap, so that if we could sync up the payoff of the townhouse, so now that mortgage expense comes off, alongside you maximizing that Social Security check, now all of a sudden we're in pretty good shape, because you can keep that $100,000 invested. Maybe you continue to add to it over the next 5 or 6 years. And so maybe that grows to $150,000, and then you keep that invested more conservatively, and maybe that, you know, continues to grow for you to use for long-term care if you need it, or, you know, to give it away or to leave it as an inheritance. But I think the key is to solve for that monthly income need and your ability to get out from under that mortgage, number one, and number two, get that Social Security check up as high as you can is probably the key. But it's all going to hinge on what your monthly need is and whether that Social Security check at whatever age, now full retirement age or age 70, whether that will cover it. Does that make sense?
Yes. I also have a question. My interest rate on my townhouse is 2.99%.
Great.
And I was thinking about trying to add extra it to it to pay it off early, or should I use that extra money to put in savings or something?
Yeah. I like you paying it off by the time you retire, because I want to get that major expense off the table so that you can balance the budget easier. So I wouldn't be in a rush to pay it off. You have a great interest rate. But if we could figure out when you're planning to retire based on how much income you need and what the right time is to take Social Security, then whatever that payoff is, let's say that's, you know, 68, because you want to get that check up a little bit, then let's say, okay, between you've got 4 years, what would it take for you to pay off the townhouse in the next 4 years? And you can back into how much extra you need to send a year to make sure that by the time you retire, that mortgage is gone.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, Marilyn. Thank you for your call today. We appreciate it. May the Lord bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Michigan. Hi, Bill. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. I've been reading some financial books for seniors recently, and none of them mention using beneficiaries on accounts, like retirement accounts, investment accounts, even checking accounts and savings accounts. And I wonder, are there certain accounts where you should use beneficiaries, or are there accounts where you should not use them?
Yeah. I don't see a reason why you wouldn't use a beneficiary when you can. Now, the only thing to keep in mind is you got to update them. So, you know, if you're relying on a will or a trust, then every time you update it, it kind of catches everything. Whereas the beneficiary designation is going to happen outside of the will or the trust and go directly to the beneficiary. And so if you make changes in your will or something changes over time, you know, maybe there's a you were going to leave money to a particular child, but they were, you know, at a place where the spiritually you felt like it was going to be something that might derail them by getting X dollars just based on where they were at with their lifestyle and so forth, and you decided not to give that money to the child, but over time that changes, you just can't forget to go and update that beneficiary, because, you know, it's going to be tied to that specific account. And every account you have that has a named beneficiary, if you make changes along the way to your wealth transfer plans, you just have to get those updated. But as long as you do that, Bill, then I like it a lot, because if you don't take the time to put a trust in place and you're just relying on a will, at least those accounts would pass outside of probate, which can be time consuming and expensive. And so I think just that for efficiency's sake, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah.
Because, like, generally have my wife as a primary beneficiary, and then maybe the kids or a trust as a contingent beneficiary. And I just, okay, is there a time when you should use a trust or a time when you should use a beneficiary instead of the trust?
Yeah, they're just different. I mean, the beneficiary at its core is just going to help you pass assets inside of various accounts according to your wishes outside of probate. So it's the efficient and expedient transfer of assets. The trust accomplishes that, but it does a lot more than that. The trust is going to allow somebody to come in and make decisions with regard to your assets. If you were incapacitated prior to your death, a trust could hold various assets beyond your death and distribute them at certain triggering events over time. So the trustee would make those decisions based on the trust documents. The trust, you know, is generally used for those purposes, among other things, like, you know, in some cases where there's a taxable estate, that can be helpful. You know, it's not a part of the public record, but neither would the beneficiary designation be. So the beneficiary essentially accomplishes the same thing. It just doesn't go as far as the trust with regard to some of the control that the trustee can have before, at, or following your death. Does that make sense?
You bet. Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right, Bill. God bless you, sir. Thanks for calling today. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our final segment today here in Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
We're going to talk about the further issue, our response, who's behind this.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. Hey, if you're thinking of how to honor God with what He's entrusted to you, maybe you want to think about giving that away generously, but you also need some income right now. You believe in the work of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. Consider a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. You can learn more at afafoundation.net. The team there would love to talk to you about what it looks like to put a charitable gift annuity in place. It's a great way you can make a gift to a ministry you care about, like AFA, transfer cash or property to AFA, and then they make fixed payments to you for life at a rate based on your age, so you can satisfy your income needs during your life, and then at your death, you know that it's going to fulfill the incredible work of the American Family Association to share the gospel and transform lives, also impact our culture. If you'd like to learn more, just head to AFAFoundation.net. All right, we're taking your calls and questions today at 800-525-7000. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. Whatever's on your mind today, we'd love to hear about it and see if we can dive into your questions. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Patsy. How can I help?
Yes, sir. Okay, on the program that came on before you start asking questions or answering calls, okay, so the couple had $30,000. I didn't get the part where what the father had said to do with, I guess it was his daughter-in-law's money that they were mostly saving.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think his big idea there, Patsy, was, you know, so often we think that in order to save a meaningful amount over our lifetime, we need to have an exorbitant income. And the point is that you really don't, that even with a modest income, if you're willing to exercise self-control and discipline, living within your means, living modestly, and prioritizing systematic savings. So in the case of Ron Blue's son and daughter-in-law, even with a modest income as teachers, they said, listen, we're going to live on one income. We're going to dial back our lifestyle. His wife was working. They didn't have any kids. She was taking 100% of her income, and they were socking it away. And, you know, he wasn't worried about retirement, or at least after he met with his dad, because he realized he had $30,000 saved in an emergency fund. They were contributing to their retirement plans. They were living debt free. And even with a modest income, by doing that over a lifetime, they're going to be just fine and have plenty of resources in the end. And I think, you know, that's the big takeaway, is that, first of all, if God is our ultimate treasure and we check our hearts, we're willing to exercise contentment, which is a learned behavior, living within God's provision. If we live within our means and save consistently, then, you know, and we do that over a lifetime, then we'll be in pretty good shape. That doesn't mean we won't have challenges and struggles along the way. We will. But you can do it. And I think this story really illustrates that. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. So okay, I'm retired, but I still I do a part-time job just to make a little extra money. But, okay, for, like, I have just one vehicle. My home is paid off. But then I do have, like, $20,000 in the bank just in savings. But I do not have a retirement, you know, like an IRA or anything.
Yes, ma'am.
So yeah. I didn't know if I should go ahead and pay my vehicle off or just.
Yeah. What is that interest rate on the car?
I think it's like 8. Because okay. I bought it during COVID.
Yeah, so it's pretty high. What do you owe on that vehicle today, roughly?
It's about $14,000.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, I would hate for you to get down below 3 months' worth of expenses. What do you spend on over a month's time, roughly?
Probably $3,000.
Okay. So, I mean, if you were to have 3 months expenses, let's call that $10,000. So conceivably you could say, well, I'm going to take half of that $20,000 and pay against the car. I mean, you could even pay it off, save the 8% a year that you're paying. That would take your 20 all the way down to 6. But then what is your monthly payment that you could then put back into savings?
Maybe another $300.
Okay, so over 12 months' time, you could put away $3,600. So, you know, it would take you, if you're paying off, you're taking $14,000 out of your savings, you know, if we're looking at $3,600, I mean, that would take you about nearly 4 years for you to build that back up just by putting, you know, that car payment worth of savings away. So you'd have to decide whether you want to do that. That's going to make sense on paper, but it's going to drop your reserves down, you know, quite a bit, from 20 to 6. So, and I think that's the decision you need to make. Now, maybe it's something where, you know, you take 10 of it and put in there, you still have 10,000 in the bank. And then we just work on paying off that $4,000 as quick as you can, you know, just out of current cash flow. I mean, that would be another option. The benefit of doing it all at once is now you immediately recapture that monthly payment that you can start rebuilding your savings with. But, you know, it's a little bit of a, you know, a tension there between knowing that you have more cushion versus the interest that you're paying on the loan. And so I think that's what you need to think through. But apart from that, it sounds like you're doing just fine. I mean, the other tool you have at your disposal, if you needed it, and I'm not saying you do, is you could, if you're planning on staying in this home for a long time, the foreseeable future, you could pull some of the equity out through a reverse mortgage and either get an income stream for the rest of your life or just have access to it through a line of credit. Anything you pull out, whether it's income or line of credit, it would grow, you know, with interest, but you would never have a payment. And so that's a tool a lot of folks use, sitting on a lot of home equity where they just don't have the income they need. They're unable to work for pay anymore. And so they use a reverse mortgage to supplement that Social Security to maintain their quality of life. That would be, I'm not saying that's what you should do. I'm just saying that's one planning tool you could use if it came to it. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes. Thank you so much.
All right. Very good. Thanks for your call, Patsy. We appreciate it. To Tennessee, Donald, how can we help you?
Hi. Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Yeah. So I've been listening to the show a lot, and I love, you know, your advice and that you give. My question's actually because I'm kind of a little weary about, you know, letting people from social media or businesses that contact me get any of my information or any of my finances because I have been scammed in the past. So but there's this thing going around now where people are using CPNs. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's like in place of their Social Security number, they're using CPN numbers and stuff. And they're saying that this is illegal and that, you know, I don't know. So I don't know exactly what's going on with the trade lines and people putting other people's credit on your existing credit to boost your credit and things like this. This is what I'm being approached with. And I just want to know if it's a scam or if it's legitimate.
Yeah. I've heard the term, but I wouldn't be able to weigh in on it in terms of its viability. I believe that stands for a credit privacy number. But here's what I'd be willing to commit to do. Let me have my team look into that, and we'll address this particular topic on a future broadcast just so we can weigh in and give you our take on it. It's not something I just want to comment on off the cuff. I've heard of it, but I'm not familiar enough with it to weigh in. But we'd be happy to take this on, and if you continue to listen, Donald, we'll tackle that in one of the upcoming broadcasts.
I'd love to hear that. Yeah.
Okay.
And for everyone listening, I wish I could have said this sooner to everyone, but NVIDIA, like if we focus on NVIDIA, these three stocks, NVIDIA, IBM, and AMD, Advanced Micro Devices, if those three companies, especially NVIDIA, are about to skyrocket, and it's because artificial intelligence and microchips and everything, it already has been, but it's still gonna, like, it's still at the beginning stages. I just want people to get in early. But that's
okay.
All. Thank you, guys.
All right, Donald. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate you being on the program. Donald sharing some market, some stock tips today. And let me just say, make sure you look at your specific financial situation. Don't get overly concentrated in any particular stock. I would take you back to any number of situations, whether it was the tulip bulb craze in Holland a long time ago. You can do an internet search for that one, or the internet craze of the 99 and 2000, or AI. There's always winners and losers, and we want to heed the counsel of Scripture to be properly diversified. So let me just put that disclaimer on his kind-hearted recommendation. Hey, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. I'm so thankful to be able to join you here on American Family Radio every day. Here at AFR, we want to approach everything we do in our lives through the lens of Scripture, that biblical worldview as we parent, light, and as we walk with Jesus, and as we're a husband or a wife, or as we engage the culture. And yes, that includes our money management, how we manage the resources that God has entrusted to us. We want to come alongside you every day to encourage you, to cheer you on, to celebrate with you, even to walk with you during those difficult seasons as well, but always direct you back to God's Word so you can apply the wisdom from the Bible that is always right, it's always relevant, it will never change. I'm so thankful for my team today. Grateful to have Pat Montague back with us handling our phones today. Also, our producer, Mr. Devin Patrick, and providing great research for me is Jim Henry, plus the entire team here at FaithFi. Couldn't do it without them. Folks, have a great rest of your day. Hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. We'll be here to do it all over again. And until then, may the Lord bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.